little late for introduction, but Mrs. Covington for 10 years has been with Laubach Literacy, and she has known Dr. Frank Laubach personally, and so she can speak from her own very personal experience. Her field is teaching English and reading, right?
Reading, writing, and understanding to non-readers.
All right, yes, fine.
Thank you.
When the decade ended with the first triumphant step towards conquering outer space, mankind gained at the same time a new perspective of the Earth. What emerged was not a vision of infinity and unlimited potentialities. Instead, what became clearer than ever before was the limitation and the vulnerability of our earthly environment, and thus the mutual dependence of all those who inhabit this shrinking planet. These words of Ernest Michenek, chairman of the Dag Hammarskjöld Foundation Board, are hard ones for North Americans. We are currently thriving on an economic theory of limitless growth. Our defense system is so costly and complex that surely, if any, we must be invincible. And we are preparing to celebrate 200 years of independence. The truth is, however, that we, together with the peoples of this planet, are in the midst of crisis. Barrio Paris is like many slums in Latin America. 3 years ago, they were a few scattered shacks. Today, they are invasion communities of more than 100,000 people. Drought and soil erosion plague the rural areas, and people swarm to the city in search of work. Most are unskilled and illiterate. They find few jobs available to them, and so are condemned to lean-tos with open sewers, long lines at barrier water spigots, and little food. Their health is bad. They are hungry. Colombia reflects population trends seen throughout Latin America. Not only is there a steady farm-to-city migration, there is an alarming increase in numbers. In 1900, the population of Colombia was 4 million. Today, it is 23 million. And the projected figure for 2000 AD is 56 million. At the current growth rate, the world population will double in one generation, and four-fifths of the babies will be born in poor countries. In India, 12 million are annually added to an impoverished multitude. And in India particularly, we see the cohort of overpopulation, the first horseman of the apocalypse, famine. Food is normally scarce in India, but this year it is more so. While torrential rains flooded crops in northern India and Pakistan, severe drought crippled southern India. News releases report rioting, spasms of violence touched off by food and water shortages. The horseman has not trod through India alone. In Afghanistan, 240,000 people looked to the U.S. for food last year. This year, in West Africa, 6 million. The population of Chicago and Los Angeles combined have died silently from famine. South of our border, the major newspaper in Mexico City reports that only 20% of the Mexican population is well fed. 30% live on subsistence diets. The remaining 50% are in varying stages of malnutrition. Over half of the people in the poor nations live on less than the minimal protein and calorie intake needed for health and productivity. Certainly, this accounts for listless, inattentive students in our reading program. But it also produces more fundamental changes. Insufficient nourishment has stunted the bone growth of this two-year-old Latin American child and hinders muscle coordination. More grave, prolonged protein deficiency may well have retarded his mental growth. Hunger not only immobilizes a poor nation in the present, it robs the country's future of brain power. Historically, population growth and crop failure have been the causes of food shortages. Today, there is another factor. Figures now show that rising affluence increases food demand, even when the population is held constant. In the poor countries, for example, protein is obtained from cereals, which are consumed at an average of 400 pounds a year per person. Here in the U.S. and Canada, cereal consumption approaches 1 ton per person, and all but 150 pounds of that is consumed in the form of eggs, milk, and meat. All too often, our popular beef has been imported from countries with large, protein-starved populations. Their land would have yielded 10 times more protein for their own use if it had been farmed in soybean. Food is not the only victim of our affluence. We in the United States comprise 6% of the world's population, yet we consume over 1/3 of the world's resources. Let's look at the situation as if it were a game with 5 players. These 5 squares then represent the needs of the 5 most populated continents. If we cut the squares into pieces, the pieces represent resources that would satisfy needs: food, fuel, equipment, money, and so on. If one player, attempting to complete his square, hoards pieces or resources, the needs of the other continents will go unmet. The puzzle will become a unified whole only if all players look also to the needs of others. Keenly aware of world needs, Dr. Frank Laubach often exclaimed to North Americans, "We must wake up or we will blow up." We have viewed 3 aspects of the world crisis. There are others. Laubach literacy focused for too long on only 1 aspect of the problem, illiteracy. We have now learned that adults will expend energy learning to read only when learning contributes to the resolution of their social, political, economic, and spiritual problems. Laubach literacy works with the poor in 10 countries, treating the world crisis as it manifests itself in their lives. We do not have the solution, but we do know that all elements of the solution have 2 components. The first is literacy. We need persons who can use reading and writing skills to analyze their problems, develop solutions, and communicate effectively with others. The second, more crucial component is God's love. Love that seeks justice, love that reaches out to others with compassion. Laubach literacy in the thickly populated area of southwestern India is Dr. A.K. John. Dr. John operates over 30 night schools with a minimum of 25 students in each. This factory will soon become a classroom where workers learn the reading, writing, and math skills crucial to solving their village problems. The men will learn how to cogently express ideas in the panchayat, the village governing body, and how to budget their seasonal incomes from farming and fishing. In this remote, mountainous country, illiteracy is a soaring 90%. Dr. Frank Laubach amazed the Afghan government 20 years ago when, through his method, soldiers quickly learned to read and teach others. An Afghan national has since developed a new diary primer and follow-up readers. Literacy classes are conducted with an emphasis on nutrition and sanitation problems. Here, Mohammed Shami works in Arab refugee camps and villages surrounding Ramallah, a city 10 miles north of Jerusalem. Literacy classes last 6 months and then are moved to another locale. In the city of Ramallah itself, where unemployment is high, literacy and sewing classes for women are combined. Upon graduation, the women are hired by local dress factories who need literate seamstresses. In Rhodesia, teachers are chosen by residents of the tribal trust lands and trained in the Laubach method by the Adult Literacy Organization of Rhodesia, staffed in Salisbury and Bulawayo. When the teachers return to their project areas, they use literacy classes as a foundation for courses in savings clubs, agriculture, child care, and health. The organization is directed by volunteer Alice Sanderson. In Canada and the United States, Laubach literacy reaches out to an estimated 21 million functional illiterates through the National Affiliation for Literacy Advance. Under the leadership of an elected executive committee, a corps of 15,000 volunteer tutors teach non-reading adults on a one-to-one basis in over 300 communities. A recent grant has enabled the National Affiliation for Literacy Advance to launch literacy projects in 6 major U.S. cities. Materials for the newly literate adult, including an easy-to-read newspaper, are produced by Laubach's publishing wing, New Readers Press. In Mexico, Ana Maria de Renteria oversees the work of some 345 literacy centers. The goal of literacy, according to Ana Maria, is to enable the adult to act upon his or her problems and participate effectively in society. The Mexican staff therefore works with many community development organizations, supplying the needed component of literacy education. They have developed an impressive series of audiovisuals and easy-to-read books, which deal with such themes as agriculture, family relationships, religion, health, and the community. 75 miles inland from Panama City, Jeremias Cortes conducts literacy and community development classes in the village of San Miguelito. The program began in 1969 with the assistance and work of Mrs. J. Foster Collins, whose husband was then representing the United States in that country. Fruits of Senor Cortes' work include San Miguelito's first infirmary, a schoolhouse, a brick-making machine for home construction, and a water pump. The government has opened a road to the village in response to the self-help effort. In 1964, Alta Samuelson journeyed to Brazil to investigate literacy needs. She stayed. Today, Laubach literacy has an active work among subsistence farmers and urban laborers in the Paraíba Valley. Tutors come from indigenous Pentecostal churches such as this one. They teach, they say, because God gave them the talent and the desire to share his word with others. Illiteracy in this area nears 90%. Indeed, 88% of the Laubach tutors have less than an elementary school education. In barrios such as Paris, Laubach has joined with the Vocational Training Institute, workers' unions, the church, the government, and barrio residents to develop cash economies for these sectors. We provide the first requirement, training in literacy and basic education. This past year, program director Dr. Luis Oscar Londoño operated 40 night centers, which taught a monthly average of 1,900 students. Another 1,500 students were trained in Laubach classes offered through the Vocational Training Institute. In the rural areas, literacy classes have resulted in the formation of agriculture cooperatives and labor unions. Publishing plays a major role in the Colombian work. Together with newly literate adults, the staff has produced a 41-book series entitled Books from the People. These follow-up books help new readers make the transition to the more difficult materials for general audiences. Frank Laubach once said, "If anyone were to ask me how to find God, I should say at once, hunt out the deepest need you can find and forget all about your own comfort while you try to meet that need. Talk to God about it and he will be there. You will know it." The world's people have critical needs now. To meet them, we must allow God to change our attitudes and lifestyles. We can no longer think of ourselves as part of an isolated nation. Reality shows that we are part of an interrelated body of people stretching around the globe. It is our hope that you will work with us in meeting the needs of people on this and other continents. Together then, we will grow toward God.
I'm very happy that you have seen marvelous recording of Dr. Frank's work around the world. We know the world is in crisis. There is no question about that. How deep is that crisis? Who has helped us solve the problems of the crisis? I think you have seen by these pictures how Dr. Frank Laubach's method has been used in many, many countries around the world. For 44 years, he was teaching in 400 languages in 103 countries around the world. Now he has upgraded it to Americans in the U.S. And we find many, many of our own people who are completely illiterate. His policy is to teach the adult rather than the child, because after all, mother in the home is the first teacher. Everyone knows that. You learn from your mother at her knees. She sang to you as a baby. You learn the songs she sung. You learn the words as she said them. She was your first teacher. Even if you lost your mother, you had a grandmother or an aunt or someone who came in, and you talked as that person talked when you learned to speak. German child learns German, and French child learns French, and so in America, an American child learns what we say, American English, not British English. And in Great Britain, of course, they learn English. People say to me, why do we have so many in America who are uneducated? We thought we had the finest system in the world of education. Then I say, are you up to date? Do you know what is happening today? Do you know that in America we're the most mobile nation in the world? People are moving from place to place. We don't have a record of the children that come and go in any urban area. There is no record of that child at all. They move so often that they never get on a census, if you please. That's why some of the children are never exposed to public education. There's no necessity. They don't think it's important. They know they can't get a job because they can't read, so they don't even try. Mother can't read in the home. If they go to school and come home with a book, she says, get someone else to help you. I can't. Get your teacher to help you. And the child says, she has 35 at school. She can't help me. But the mother cannot help. So, we're talking about the adult in education. And if you've read Future Shock by Alvin Toffler, you would be aware of what we are in right now. I suggest every student today in colleges, universities around the world should read Alvin Toffler's Future Shock. He says that we are in the midst of the second great industrial era, and we haven't even caught up with the first yet. So people are completely overcome by our extreme know-how, so to speak, in space and in many atomic manipulations. And we're so involved in advanced technology that we have no time for the common person, the person down there who really doesn't know. So that's number one. We have a mobile population. They move from one bad place to a worse place, and there is no census on that person. Now, what about the adult who never learned at all, or who learned so little that they never got the basic sounds, how important the sounds are? We have one out of every 10 in America is what we call a marginal or a functional illiterate. Now, they may come to church, they may read a few songs and learn them off by heart. They may open their Bibles and mutter a few words. But as for reading it word by word, it would be impossible for them to do so. They join in on the amens, and they sing hallelujah, and that's about as far as they can get. A young ministers who are going out into the world should be aware of this system, because number one, it would be well if you learn to teach it. You can get a certificate by taking a course, a very short course, in two periods of time, say two Saturdays in a row, from 9 to 3, we have excellent tutors right here in St. Louis who could give you instruction, and you would then get a certificate from Laubach Literacy at Syracuse, New York, and that would entitle you to teach the Laubach method. You would pay the fee for the first book. The teacher's book is for the first three skill books. You would get a teacher's guide. It tells you word by word what to say. You never say too much. You just say enough. You never say no to an illiterate. You always say, that is good. Now let's do this. And then you repeat, you see, as you come through it again. I had a wonderful experience down at Wesley Center when I took my course last summer. There was a man 99 years of age, came into that place, a beautiful person. He was just, his beard was trimmed and his hair was so carefully combed and he was so clean and neat looking. And he said, "Madam, is there anyone here who would dare to try to teach me to read?" He said, "I have never read a word in all my life. I'm 99 years old. I've been in the hospital. I've been a very sick person, but I'm better now, and I beg my sister to bring me today. Is there anyone here who will help?" Well, I had just started to teach. I said, "By all means, sir, come with me." And I took him in a room to himself. It's a one-to-one relationship. It's beautiful. And I opened up that first skill book page, which teaches the first five consonants, B, C, D, F, G, and H, the first five or six consonants, the beginning word. So I began to teach him these words, and he would say the word after me, but he couldn't catch the sound. But I let that go, and I'd say, "But the name of the letter is B, and the sound of the letter is B." He couldn't get the sound, so we didn't worry about the sound. We went on down the page. And then right across from it was some reading. But he had had all he could take at the bottom of the page. Then I turned it over and I showed him how to make the first letters. The bee is a bird with the long tail and the round body. You see, you have your bee in manuscript writing. And cup starts with C. It's a cup on its side. And it starts with K. Can you say K? And he would say K. And then he wrote K. And then he wrote all the letters on that page. And he said, "Madam, I will take this home, and I will practice these letters." Well, bless his heart, I didn't think I would see him again. He was so feeble. But he went home and stayed a whole month. He came back a month later. Now, I was teaching another student there. He came back a month later. He said, "I think I can read that whole first page. I've been writing all those letters now. I know those letters," he said. "I'm so proud." I said, "Certainly, come in here, and I will teach you again." So the second time we went in the room, and right across, we reviewed the words. He was getting the sound a little better. "Oh," I said, "that's so good. How fine that is that you've learned all of that by yourself. Now you write the letters, now you can read the words. Isn't that beautiful?" And he said, "Oh, I'm just so thrilled with this." So I said, "Now you're ready to read. Let's look over here right across the page. This is a bird. Read. This is a bird." And he said, "Oh, that's a picture there. That's a bird." I said, "Yes, here it is over here. Read. This is a bird." He says, "This is a bird." "Oh," he said, "I never read a sentence before in my life." And I said, "All right. Now look at the next one. This is a cup. See the picture here?" He said, "Yes, there's the picture. All right, read. This is a cup." And he said, "This is a cup." Then we went right down the page, and he read every one of the sentences that were supposed to go with the first skill book on the other side. And then this is a girl. This is a girl with a round head and a long curl. That's your G in manuscript writing. And so it starts with the sound G. So he said, oh, that's the girl. I remember her. I said, all right, read. This is a girl. So he read it. Finally, he got to the bottom of the page, and he said, this is a girl with a bird in her hand. I said, read the whole sentence. This is a girl, that it is a picture. This is a girl with a cup in her hand. This is a girl with a bird in her hand. And he read the whole thing. And he said, glory be, I can read. He said, for the first time in my life, I can read. So he went home, and I asked his sister later, I said, is your brother able to come again? She said, the doctor says, please don't make him study. It is just a little too much. But he says to thank you because he learned to read for the first time in his life at 99 years of age. So is there hope? I say there's hope for anyone, any age, to pick up reading in a very simple, simple way. But I didn't teach him anymore because he was just too feeble to come back. It was too much exertion. The doctor said it is testing his nervous system too much for him to learn anymore. But it shows you the possibilities of this thing are just unlimited. Now, wherever you go, young men of the ministry, young teachers all across the United States, wherever you go, you're going to find functional or marginal illiterate people. I find them in my own church. I'm training a woman now, very privately in my home. After work, she has her own business. She has it incorporated. She is a professional woman, if you please. And she comes to my home because she never learned the sounds of the consonants when she went to school. She said, I know I cannot read many things. I do not speak well. I don't use correct English. And she said, it's very embarrassing when I'm talking to a student and I make an error in grammar, and I know it, she said. I know it isn't right, but I don't know what to do about it. Now, she said, I think you can help me. I said, dear, I know I can help you. So she's been coming to my home. She's run through the first three skill books, and now she's beginning to improve every day. She said, I want to learn to write, too. So she's learning manuscript writing. In the fourth skill book, you go into cursive writing for the first time. And it's very easy to train them into that. I taught it 17 years at the second grade level. So I know exactly how to present that. So you see, there are many, many things. Now, one out of every 10 in the United States of America is a functional or marginal illiterate. Did you know that? Doesn't seem possible, does it? A child has gone all through the system. If they fail to get the sounds in the first three grades, if you please, they are going to have a tiger on their back the rest of their lives. Because inwardly, they know that they cannot make out a new word and pronounce it. If you don't know the sound of the consonants and the short vowels and the long vowels, you cannot figure out a new word, even though you look in the dictionary. You don't even know where to look there to find it. So it's very difficult. You see what I mean by everyone must know about this system. It is so simple and so easy to teach. And you never say no to an illiterate. You always say, good, that's fine. Now let's do it again. Let's do something else. And then you come back and review, you see. And eventually they pick it up. It's marvelous how they learn. I have two students now. I've been teaching since the middle of July. And one is 64 years old. She looks like she's 35. She's a beautiful person. And she's going to be a writer. She wants to write for other black people. And she has things to say. And the other is going to be a mechanical engineer. When he gets to the fifth skill book, he can go to any high school and take a night course in mechanics of some kind. And it's the mechanical skills and math. I said, can you take math without reading? He said, no, I know I can't. They want me to go and take math. I said, don't go until you lick the reading problem, because you're going to have directions, aren't you? The directions are going to tell you what to do in that math. and if you can't read them, you're not going to do your math very well. So he said, no, I think I better stick with this until I do all five skill books, and then I'll be ready to go to high school and take some night courses and go on with the work I want to go. And said, may I come back to you if I have problems? I said, by all means, call on me anytime. I can be of service to you. Now, this is volunteer work. We get not a penny for our services. Dr. Frank never intended that we should get a penny, because if you are charging for your services, you are not so deeply concerned with that person, are you, as if you're just paid like a school teacher. You're not a school teacher. You are a humanities teacher. You are concerned with that person and his welfare. You're concerned with rehabilitating, for instance, young men in the correctional institution. I wish they wouldn't call it that. They should call it rehabilitation center. That's what it should be. If they had enough workers, if they had enough Laubach people, they could do that. Be a complete rehabilitation. I went down there and taught one man four lessons. And in that time, we ran through three skill books. He had dropped out of school in his sophomore year, but he had an awful chip on his shoulder, a great seat of vengeance against authority. He was going to be there a whole year. They had found out that he headed a bunch of thieves down in St. Louis. He was in charge of them, but he never stole a thing himself. So they'd say, how about this stealing? He said, I don't know anything about it. I'm out on the street. He never went near the stolen goods. He didn't steal. He simply, what I said, cased the joint. He knew exactly who was coming and when they were coming and when the best time to strike came. And for months, they couldn't find out how that gang operated. This boy was the brains behind it. He had dropped out of school because it was easier to be a thief and learn these things and be a leader of his people than to be a nothing in the classroom. But he was smart. And I found him in the third skill book that he couldn't do very, his writing was very poor. So he began in manuscript writing. And you can convert them very easily into the regular kind of writing after they learn the manuscript. Are there any questions you have in mind? As you think about going into the ministry, as you think about where you might be located, any urban area in the USA is going to have many illiterates. We have 70,000 in St. Louis who cannot read or write. And these are adults from 16 years of age on up. Say a high school dropout, on up. These are the people we're talking about. 70,000 right here in St. Louis. You don't have to go very far. And that includes the county. They're in the county, too, in little sections all over. Now, question?
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to ask you two questions. Yes. First of all, how do you locate the illiterates? How can you locate the people that need these skills? And secondly, do you have a whole set of Christian books which can be used evangelistically to lead that person to Christ?
Did you notice on the slides that were shown, all those materials, each one of them would have something about Jesus? Did you notice the picture?
No, not quite. I didn't.
You weren't looking for that. Every one of our literature materials have short stories about Jesus written so the new reader can read it. And for the first time in history, the Bible Society this year in New York City, the International Bible Society, I had a publication sent to me. The center page was the story of Christmas written for the new reader. Dr. Laubach begged them for 20 years to do this for the new reader. And I took it out and had it Xeroxed for my students. And they read it at home. And they were only in the third skill book. And they read the story about the shepherds and the angels. And they read that story to their families as a Christmas story that last Christmas. And they were only in the third skill book. How about that? Isn't that beautiful? Now, that's what we need.
So Laubach himself has developed a series of...
Oh, yes. Every bit of this. You see, our United States government begged Dr. Frank Laubach several years ago to turn his method over to the government. And he said, well, gentlemen, I would want to know more particulars about that. They said, well, of course, you said, being a religious thing, they said there'd be nothing about Jesus in it. He said, well, sirs, you can never have my method without Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus goes with this, and if you try to do it without Jesus, you will fail. You will fail. That's what he told our government several years ago. We were so disappointed that he didn't get it in the government, but we found out why. They wanted him to drop Jesus out of it. He said, he's so much a part of it, sir. You cannot teach without Jesus Christ.
So it's actually geared.
Absolutely geared to the stories of Jesus. And they're written all, we have a whole series, Feeding the 5,000, Jesus as a boy of 12, The Fisherman by the Sea. I could just name, there's a whole series, five or six. And any teacher can order these from headquarters and get them at any time. We have a supply right here in St. Louis. We have a woman in charge of supplies. Now, Mrs. Evelyn Budlong is our coordinator. She finds a student, she finds a teacher, and puts them together. She has a whole list of people waiting to be taught, if you please. I got my student from McDonald. He called his social worker. And he said, I have been offered supervision over my department, and I know I can't read or write. What can I do about it? He said, I think I have an answer for you. And he called Mrs. Budlong, whom he knew. And she said, of course. And she said, I have a teacher right out there in Bridgeton. She's only 15 minutes away from McDonald. So I meet my student at my church, Arlington Methodist Church, at the top of the hill, and it takes him 15 minutes to get there after work. When he's working. He's on strike now. But when he's working. Now, he's the one that wanted to take math course at St. Louis U. And I said, are you sure you want to go to class before you've licked all this reading problem? And then he began to think, and he said, I expect they'll have directions, won't they? And I said, yes, they will. He said, I'm going to lick the reading first. That comes first. So he's in the fourth skill book. He only has one more skill book to go. But they are very hard. He has to take very involved dictation and spell every word correctly and understand what it means. And it's a very difficult book to teach. The fourth and fifth skill books are very advanced. By the time they finish those, they're ready for almost anything. They use the dictionary. They know how to look up words, divide them into syllables. They know the root word. They've learned all of that by the time they get through the five skill books. I have never seen an educational system. I taught for 25 years before going into this. I've never seen a system that had a setup that this has. And the rapidity in which the person can learn just absolutely amazes you. You are just overcome by it when you start to teach it. And then they come back at you, you know, and they say, why are you doing this for me? You're not charging anything for this. And you say, because God loves you. That's why I'm teaching you. You're one of God's people. All mankind is God's people. I don't care what color, what nationality. You belong to Jesus Christ. You belong to God. Therefore, God loves you, and I love you too. And right away, you build a chain, a golden chain between you and your student. It's the most beautiful experience you've ever seen. I covet it for you, sir, that you may have it before you leave school. And you can get it very shortly if you want it. We have two excellent tutor trainers right here in the county. We're well organized. I'm going to a regional conference of NALA. Let me explain NALA, please. N-A-L-A, National Affiliates for Literacy Advance. Now, that's a correlation of all the different groups that are working the Laubach method. It is backing the whole thing because it's the only method that teaches as we teach, in the way in which we teach. Now, you don't have to worry about the whys and wherefores. It's all written down in the book. You simply have to read the directions and follow them right down the line, the way Dr. Laubach says to do it. And then you use your own good common sense in making contact with that student. And Jesus Christ can come out in every lesson you have. You just praise the Lord. You say, isn't this a beautiful day? And your student said, yes, it's a day that the Lord has made. And you start out your class that way. Why not? Or your student that way, with that thought in mind. And there's so many times when you can speak to that person. And the stories are so interesting. Sometimes they're a continued story. Now my students are learning about a paragraph. how paragraphs should be written, what should be in a paragraph. And I'm an old journalism student, and I say, how many W's does it have in it? Who, what, where, why, and when, you know? And they say, well, that works out pretty well, doesn't it? It tells a story. Who was it? What did he do? Why did he do it? When did he do it? And they begin to add to the sentences to make them more interesting. You see, you're building sentence structure. And it's a built-in grammar. You don't have to talk about grammar at all. It's built in to Laubach work because he knows those people don't know the correct language. They do not know how to put their grammatical words together to make good sense. Now, my student comes to me and she writes something very good. The other day she said, I was improperly introduced to God, but I have found him in my own way. How about that? Isn't that beautiful? I was improperly introduced to God, but I have found him in my own way. And believe me, she is a practicing Christian. When I was working for Southwest Africa, that awful drought they had where you saw 2 million people had died, and they're still dying at the tick of a clock. Another 10 or 15 or 20 are dying right now because they are so undernourished, you see, and they have typhoid fever, and they never get over it because of the impure water. Now they found a clear lake deep down under the desert, fed by springs. How about that? But they have to dig deep down a pipeline. And I was collecting money for that pipeline, and I told my student, she just picked up a dollar bill out of her purse and handed it to me. That's the way she does her charity. She doesn't go to church, her organized church. She does her charity in her own way. The minute I said something about West Africa, she said, please take this and put it in what you're getting together. So you see, everything she sees is worthwhile, she supports. And I honor her for that. We have a beautiful relationship, she and I, because she tells me things she's talking about. She's trying to get something done in the house where she lives. She's a beautiful housekeeper. She wants everything to be clean. And she said she has to withhold rent 2 months before they even listen to what she wants. That's the way she has to deal with her landlord. Of course, the manager doesn't. The landlord never comes. It's a manager. She says, I want some fresh paint for my windowsills and woodwork, and I'll do the work myself. Please give me some paint, and I want some new wallpaper because it's leaking upstairs. Now, if you do something to the roof up there to keep it from leaking and get me the wallpaper, I'll do the work if you get me the material. And I have the rent in the bank waiting for you whenever you bring me that material. And she has. She has a checking account and a savings account. And she's doing well. That's the one I'm teaching downtown. She's a beautiful person. I teach her in New City Public Library. See, you arrange your student meeting with you at your convenience and at the student's convenience. Now, that's all arranged by our coordinator. She will do that for you. Don't worry about the students. We have whole lists of them that need this help.
What if you're in a community that doesn't have a local representative?
Well, you mean if you are, your charge is in a community,
yes,
where you don't think there is, you could try to find out. You may be surprised. There may be a NALA representative in that area. You should investigate. Ask the newspapers. Ask some of the churches. Well, the churches aren't particularly concerned about this, unfortunately. Dr. Frank was a dreamer. And he used to say, the churches will just pick this up and carry it on. Well, they didn't do it, as you well know, because they thought it was in conflict to mission. Can you beat that? They thought it was in conflict. And it isn't. It's pure mission, isn't it? It's the purest mission you could have. It's to teach a person to read and write and talk about Jesus.
Do you have to go through the context, or couldn't you, like, go to a local reform school or a prison or
you could go to a jail. Yes, if you are equipped to teach Laubach literacy, or by all means offer your services. They'd be delighted to talk to you.
Or maybe even a Spanish American community,
yes,
in your city. That
certainly.
A lot of literacy.
Oh, yes.
Or inner city black.
Certainly, yeah. Certainly. Oh, there's a tremendous lot right here in this area. But any area you go to, Chicago, Philadelphia, you just name the city, and you'll find the illiterates. They're all over the country. And they're out in the county, they're every place. And these marginal ones are the ones that worry me. One out of every 10 in the USA is a marginal illiterate. Doesn't seem possible, does it? But the public school system has failed all down the line, and now they admit it. They actually admit it. Remember the superintendent of schools of St. Louis who retired one time? He said, I have to admit that we have failed completely to teach the people in the city to read and write because they don't speak it at home. They don't learn it at home, you see. The mother's illiterate. She can't help them. I taught down there on purpose to learn what they were faced, and I saw what they had to go through. There's no place for them to play when they go home. There's broken glass in the alley. The windows are broken out. They are called latchkey children. They have a latchkey to let them in the house. They eat out of the refrigerator. Mother usually has a sandwich in there for them or something. And they're always chewing on something because they do not have proper food. They don't have a balanced ration. So they're always chewing on something in school. And they go out and get the cheapest kind of stuff and always chewing on something because they're hungry. They're really hungry. They're not getting a balanced diet at home. They never sit down at the table. So you wonder why they don't have good manners. They never sit down at the table. They eat standing up. And they eat before the mother gets home from work. Now, that's the usual procedure in the Hamilton area, which is very, if you know anything about that, that's a very difficult situation. But I do hope that each one of you will spread the word that this is a very important thing for you to know before you leave the seminary. And Dr. Frank wrote me just before I went to Japan in 1970, and he said, have you taught the young men at Concordia? And I had to admit that I hadn't taught the young men at Concordia. I couldn't even teach it at that time. I learned last July how to teach the completely illiterate. I had just come back from a convention at Chevy Chase, Maryland. We had a national convention. Now I'm going to a regional convention in southwest Missouri, the 13th and 14th of May. I will go to that convention, and that will be a regional. See, we're all divided up into regions. This is a tremendous organization across the USA. We contact millions of people, really. But it's only a drop in the bucket compared to what we need to do, you see? It's just like a dropping one little drop down in the lake, and here's a whole vast lake of people that are uneducated.
Question.
It's shocking. Yes, sir.
I suppose this long waiting list, you find no lack of motivation in the hearts of these people. They're probably very self-motivated. They really want to learn to read.
Well, motivation never enters the picture at all, because if they're not willing, you don't need to waste time on them.
Right.
You don't have time to waste on the person who doesn't want to learn. You're not going to force it down his throat. No, sir. He is there because he desires to learn, and he wants to do this more than anything else he's ever wanted to do.
He realizes how far
exactly.
he is because he doesn't have
exactly. Now, he may know some of these first words. You can go as fast as your student's able to go. I took two lessons at a time in the first skill book because the words were simple. They could learn them very quickly. So why waste time on that? I took two lessons at a time. And then you get a little bit farther, it gets more difficult, you see. Now I'm taking two times on one lesson in skill book four. It's so advanced. I don't want to go too fast, you see. You have to gear it to your student. If they are slow, deliberate thinkers, you never force them to do it too fast. You should have seen her taking the first test. She made a perfect score. She carved it out like a sculptor would carve out of stone the letters that she made. She wanted to make a small Q in front of Queen. She had to put in the missing beginning consonants. She wanted to make a Q. She said, now, I said, you say everything out loud that you think. I want to know how you're thinking. She said, you said, make a C and then draw a line down and you have an A and then go below the line and you have a Q. And I said, good for you. She remembered how I told her to make a small Q in manuscript writing. And she put that down in front of the word queen. So she had to put in all the missing letters that she had learned that in that first skill book. That wasn't easy to do, but she made 100% on that first test. She made 98 on the next test out of a possible 100. And then the third test was a bit tougher, and she made about 3 mistakes out of the next test. But I was so thrilled that they got the meaning, which was the most difficult part. They took true and false, and they'd never put a T and an F down in their lives. But I explained what it meant. True is if you know that it happened. It is correct. You know it's correct. Then you put T. If you know that did not happen, in the story right above, look back at the story and double check.
And she'd come down. She said, Tom didn't do that. It was Ed that did it, not Tom. So that is wrong. So I put an F there. She did this all out loud, telling me her what she was thinking about. And it's good to have them do that if they are willing to do so. Yes.
I'm going to have to go pretty soon. Yes. So what are the, how do we get involved in this program, or what, do you have some information on it? Or
oh,
what
certainly.
What do we do now?
Certainly. Here. Well, I have some things right back there, sir, if you'll get them off of that table. They are little booklets. No, I think I have them right here. Excuse me. I have them right here. These little booklets have my name and phone number on the back, and this explains Laubach to you. I want both of you, all of you, to have these. And then I have the local setup. This is what you will want to get. And this is our Literacy Council of Greater St. Louis. And this will tell you the people in charge of that, and I have checked the one that you should contact, Mrs. Evelyn Budlong, and that's her phone number right there. And she will be very happy to get you in touch, or if you want to take a course, she will get you get hold of the tutor-trainer. Director of training is Carol Smith. There she is up there, director of training, Carol Smith. She's an excellent teacher. And she would give you, and Barbara Wolf has also taken the tutor training at this time. She can give it Tuesday or Wednesday night. And Carol Smith gives it on Saturdays because she works during the week. Very brilliant girl. And she can present this to you. And this gives you the whole setup of the Literacy Council of Greater St. Louis and the members there.
How much does this cost now?
The training costs you nothing. But the material, you will have to buy the first teacher's book includes the first three skill books. You have a teacher's manual that you will have to pay for, that's all.
Do you know how much that is?
The manual and the first three student books. I don't think that's more than $6 or $7, something like that. But the publication is the expense of Laubach,
yeah.
You can see that. And publication just doesn't go down, it always goes up. So we try to reduce it as low as we possibly can. But that's the only thing that you would have to pay for. The training is free. Her time is free to you. This is volunteer work on her part. And all of the contacts they make for you is free.
You say two sessions are sufficient?
Two are sufficient, yes. But they are concentrated. It'll take a lot of, you really have to concentrate on what you're doing. 9 to 4 the first day and 9 to 3. And sometimes she shortens that a little bit. You have a sack lunch wherever you are, and she likes to get a group together, 5 at least. Now, if you would get 4 others to get this with, take this with you, some young ministers just going into the ministry, it would be ideal for you to have this course. I think you should know how to present it yourself. Then you could get helpers, you see, in the field after you got started, and you go on with your ministerial part and let them do the tutoring. After you got them started.
This is probably going to be possible if we get a group together here to have this person come here to camp.
By all means, if you let me know how many, I'd be very glad to make that contact for you. Call me, and my phone number is there. Call me by all means. Yes, it's well worthwhile working before you graduate. Before you graduate. Now, when is your time? Is it last of May or first of June?
Coming up fast. Last of May.
It'd have to be.
Last of May.
We'd have to start maybe in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could take it. Say Tuesday and Wednesday night.
Yeah, we could do it.
Two nights in a row, if you're free.
Of course, here it goes all day. Could you get it all in an evening?
Well, it's harder. It's harder. You would have to take, I don't know how long they'd take that. What time would you have off, to tell you the truth? What time would
Saturday
you have available?
We could do it on Saturday.
Yes, Saturday would be the best. You would get 9 to 3. You really need that. And she says, bring a sack lunch, you know. Of course, you had it right here at the school. But they just stop a short time for lunch and then have coffee or tea or whatever you want to drink. And then she goes right back into it until about 4 the first day. And then the second day, you have the actual experience of teaching each other. That's very valuable.
Mm.
You take a student and teach him and he teaches you. Now, I taught a black girl from a cabinet church. She turned around and taught me. I thought if she could teach me, I can certainly teach her. I was a creative teacher. And it's very hard for me to get these words exactly like Dr. Frank says to do it. But once you get it down, that first page or two, then it becomes easy for you. you see how important it is to present it his way.
This will be open, of course, not only to students, but anybody, I guess, would like to...
They would have to be registered so we'd know the persons. We'd have to have the material ready for them.
Right.
And they would have to pay for that material.
Right.
See? So you let me know how many you can get together.
Right.
And what days you want. Then immediately I will contact both Evelyn and Carol Smith. And see if they can make arrangements.
Well, my point is, if, say, some of the staff or the faculty want to participate in this, they too...
Why shouldn't you take the course?
Sure.
I have a minister and his wife who both took it out in the Lutheran church way out in Manchester. I've already given one or off of this picture.
Right.
After showing these pictures, the minister and his wife both took the course. But they were amazed that they had to pay for the materials. I forgot to tell them that. So I'm telling you in advance, so you won't be shocked. And, of course, they could have just written a check for it, but there was a young engaged couple there. And he was going to be a minister, by the way. And they had not yet married. So they were saving all their pennies, you know, and it was a little bit difficult for them. But the rest of the people could take care of it all right.
$6 or $7, I think.
Yes, and I can check and see exactly how much it is. I can call you and let you know.
A couple
but
of
it
things.
Is much more. Yes.
Let's say we only have about 3 weeks in school.
Yes.
If we couldn't get a group together, first of all, could we get involved with another group here within the next 3 weeks that we could take it if we can't get enough here at school? And secondly, if we could get in before we had to leave,
mm-hmm.
could we take this training in another city or some other place?
Well, I'm sure you could. I mean, it would depend a lot on where you were going. But we do have NALA all over across the United States. Now, if you're going to any big urban area,
mm-hmm.
they're bound to have it. Because we have representatives from every state in the union, from California to New York. We had representatives there at our national NALA conference in Chevy Chase, Maryland. I went to that. Oh, it was gorgeous in the spring, last spring, in May, just a year ago, this month, next month. I went to that convention. Just accidentally went as a fill-in for a woman who couldn't go. And that's what got me started on this whole thing. I took TESOL, Teaching English as a Second Language. Now, if you're going to have Oriental students, you need to know how to teach it for the Oriental. We have a special way of teaching it. TESOL, they call it. Teaching English as a Second Language. Now, it's a different procedure from this regular English course that you would be taking.
Okay, well,
this is for the average person.
What about if we couldn't get five people here, what could we
get
involved in a group through? Who would we contact?
Well, this Evelyn Budlong.
Okay.
She
Evelyn.
Is our coordinator,
okay.
by all means. But I'd like to know myself first how many you have in mind, and you could let me know.
Do you have an optimum size group?
Well, she says a minimum of five. She feels like it isn't worth her time because she's called on for many groups, you see. She may be all engaged. I'll have to find out what date she has open.
Right.
She's very much in
Maybe
demand.
Maybe we could get into one of her other
That's
groups.
The point. And I have another student who wants it out there in my town of Bridgeton, too, who would like to take it. So we'll get together with several others that might want to join us. And I'm sure we get at least five or six, and maybe more.
Maybe we could give you our names and phone numbers, and you could give them... Will you be
well, now,
or should we
through him.
Through
him.
Okay,
follow me.
I
could call him anytime and get the information from him. And you let me let him know, and you tell your classmates about it.
Okay.
And I'm sure anyone going into the ministry this year should get in this class if he possibly could before he left. Because once you know that beginning stuff, you can pick up the rest of it yourself. No problem at all. And we have all the materials you want, but they have to know beforehand so they bring them with them, you see.
Sure.
They have to have that stuff for you before they can give the course. You have to have the material. All right. God bless you.
Well, thank you
and
very much.
Wonderful to be with all of you. And good evening, and God bless you.